This is the story of the one. As a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility, he knows keeping the line up and running is a top priority. That's why he chooses Grainger. Because when a drive belt gets damaged, Grainger makes it easy to find the exact specs for the replacement product he needs. And next day delivery helps ensure he'll have everything in place and running like clockwork. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is the story of the one. As a custodial supervisor at a high school, he knows that during cold and flu season, germs spread fast. It's why he partners with Grainger to stay fully stocked on the products and supplies he needs, from tissues to disinfectants to floor scrubbers. All so that he can help students, staff, and teachers stay healthy and focused. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome back to the Podcast That Rocks, weekly podcast that talks about news in the world of rock, metal, alternative, and everything in between. My name is Luke.
My name is Alex.
And my name is Rowan.
Sorry for the minute or two delay on YouTube. Turns out I just have such a rough force. I said, hey, do you guys want to get water? Really? We could get water? And they both went and got water. Am I such a harsh monster that I can't even, like, a water break is such a demand, like, such a gift?
Chet, you don't know what he's like when he turns off the camera.
Yeah,
he's a completely different person.
Especially on a remote setting. I must be a monster if I can enforce that type of will in different states and time zones. So
I don't know how you do it, man, but it's honestly terrifying. Seriously.
I don't know how I do it either. I'm completely in the dark on that. However, thank you all for joining us on this Wednesday evening. If we hit the 50 likes, we will play at least one round of Festival Rock or Flop. We already got one super chat, so we have one round there for Ellie Yeats. We'll get to all super chats read later tonight. We also will be talking about a few things that are... We'll be as polite as we can without going super overboard, especially in the time allotted, because a lot of things have happened. However, thank you so much for being here. And if you noticed early, and we have the little icon to the right of my head, we are doing the Riot Fest giveaway. The instructions are on the YouTube thing, and they'll be in the link later if you want to enter that. And this podcast page is how you do it as well. So if you didn't see the intro for it, just watch it later. It's very easy to do. And you can enter on Instagram and TikTok. We're giving away three pairs, not just one. So, thank you guys for joining us. Anything else before we start to have our heartstrings tugged on a little bit? Alex, Rowan, you ready to cry a little? You want to cry a little?
I don't want to cry anymore.
I think you're all ready to have your feelings hurt just one more time. Just one more time. Here we go. Sharing my screen. Wabam, wabam. You see? Isn't that sweet? Oh my God.
I watched part of this and it was like so it was like so depressing seeing the family.
Yeah,
it literally tore me up. I watched it, I saw Sharon's face, and I was like,
I do think about, like, decades since we've all been alive, they have been inseparable because they've worked the business together. To see one half without the other is definitely a new thing, especially for her, you know. So I'm glad they have the whole family there, and I'm also very impressed with just how many people showed up. Also,
it was beautiful. The whole I watched the whole funeral thing, you know, this morning. It was very early this morning in the U.S.
Yeah, they couldn't delay it more for us. Gosh.
Yeah.
Gosh.
They had like a police escort too as well. Mm-hmm. Like, it was insane. They went all the way out, which all they should, because this man's a legend.
All of England unanimously agreed, okay, no crime during his funeral. Let's just be on our best behavior.
Yeah.
That was that was the press release.
Yes.
But yeah.
And
any thoughts just overall what you saw? I couldn't see the whole live thing. I saw clips back and forth, watching live while doing other things as well.
Have you guys, just because there's been like enough time for like people to kind of like make jokes, or sort of like make memes and edits about it, but like, have you guys seen like reels or jokes about like Ozzy reuniting with the bat in heaven?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
There have been memes galore. I also saw someone, he had a cherub, and God's like, no, it's not a bat. In heaven. Also, I would be remiss to not acknowledge all the jokes, because we lost Hulk Hogan this past week as well, who once claimed he was going to be the bassist for Metallica. Yes, he did claim that. And it was debunked by Metallica. No, he did not really. He Hulk Hogan has a long, long history of lying, unfortunately. A long history. And that was one of them. So he like his lie was that after Cliff Burton passed, he was originally going to be the bassist for Metallica. And this was way after Hulk Hogan's heyday in wrestling, too, that he made up that lie. It's just one of his tall tales that type of thing. However, there have been a lot of memes with him as well. Not as flattering, though, because Ozzy Osbourne definitely got the proper send off. So
it was great to see the kids and Sharon, you know, like all the kids getting. Especially Amy, because we don't see her very often.
Yeah, she wants nothing to do with cameras in the spotlight. She never has. She's always been.
I mean, that's her wish. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. And it makes sense. Obviously, you don't want your entire life broadcast and, you know, your family decided to whatever. But it was really good to see her come out with the family. They were all standing together. They weren't, you know, standing apart. It was good to see all of them together. That was cool. Right. I mean,
I think this image right here is one of my favorites because it is the hearse, but it's also just the family right there. And then the bench, just not even a bench anymore. Like there's no way when you pass by it, it's such a living monument to Ozzy that so many people have come to over the past week to the point where it had like security had to step. It's like, please no more, please. You know, that type of thing. It was a lot.
And it was really, I really liked the subtle, small nods. Sharon wearing Ozzy's wedding ring around her neck.
Oh my God.
I thought that was a very, you know, I got goosebumps again because it's just so sad what they're all going through. And then, of course, Kelly wearing a pair of Ozzy's sunglasses.
Yes.
Just nuts.
Gretchen noticed that too. Yeah, with those sunglasses.
Jack had like a little like a cross on his like tie, kind of like part of like Ozzy's like big cross chain that he has. Even his other son, I keep forgetting his name, sorry, but like, then he has like the purple color scheme with him too, very Black Sabbath-y.
For those listening, like we're looking at pictures right now of the funeral, like that are featured from Rolling Stone. Right now, you see the photo of Sharon and the family and the kids. You see Kelly with sunglasses. You see Sharon with the ring around her neck. Like the one ring, the metal version. This is the metal version pretty much of the One Ring from Lord of the Rings worn the same way as Frodo did. Yes, I nailed it. I finally found a way to get Frodo in this story.
I mean, we had a Lord of the Rings reference with Danny Warsop looking like a Nazgul a couple weeks back.
Oh, we'll get to him later, unfortunately.
Oh, yes. Oh, my God.
I know that's what you're not. Yeah. Speaking of
not stop with them.
Speaking of tears, but not for the right reason. Ugh. So
thanks.
Yeah. At peace, Osborne's widow, Sharon, holds up a peace sign while standing with her children, Kelly, Amy, and Jack. While Osborne and Sabbath were long associated with witchcraft and dark magic, Osborne once cracked to Rolling Stone, "We couldn't conjure up a fart. We'd get invitations to play witches, conventions and black masses in Highgate Cemetery. I honestly thought it was a joke. We were the last hippie band. We were into peace." That's a great quote, by the way, from Ozzy Osbourne. I'm glad that Rolling Stone was able to pull some things like this and give it a little bit of like a lighter feeling, you know, because again, like you see some of these photos, it is heartbreaking, but at the same time, you could not ask for a better send off and a more legendary tribute and end to someone like this.
One of the additional lighthearted ones that I really was just like, hell yeah, Ozzy, was from his I Am Ozzy autobiography.
Oh my God.
What did he say? I got to pull up on my Instagram.
I'll pull it up on your Instagram too, because I remember you
posted it. All right, go for it.
Yeah.
I just don't want to get it wrong. It's such a long quote.
It should be on your screen right now. If you want to read it, you can see it on screen. Go ahead.
Yeah. So he wants it on his headstone. He put it in his autobiography. Ozzy Osbourne, born 1948, died whenever he bit the head off a bat. Ozzy wrote that himself. That's what he wanted on his headstone.
Oh my God. I love that. It reminds me of Trent Reznor had like a very similar like statement for when he dies. I don't think I can say it, but he was like, I want my epitaph be like, said Fis F won a Grammy.
Yeah. Oh, and that was like decades before he won like 50 other awards too. So,
yeah.
So that being said, like everything we've talked about the last 2 weeks now, last week, whatever, it feels like longer because it hasn't even been 2 weeks. It was last Tuesday when he passed. And I don't think there's anything else we can add. And it sucks to say that because everyone said everything. But I'm glad, again, if this is the proper, this is the proper best way to send off someone like Ozzy Osbourne. And if you, if when they announce the dates for that theater production version, like the theater release for Back to the Beginning, like in the, like you'll watch it, like the concert movie, boy, oh boy, those things are going to sell out. So
I will fight people to get the best seat in the theater. I do not care.
Yeah, we go so bad. Ooh. And I don't like going to the movies.
You don't like going to the movies?
Okay, I do get it because I worked at a movie theater. Once you work it, you realize how gross movie theaters can get. It's a whole different thing.
I like to eat big things of messy food on my couch watching a movie. That's I don't want to eat popcorn.
Oh, if only popcorn. Like, see, here's the thing. Like, people bring in their own food, like fast food and stuff. It'll eat it and then just leave it under the seats when they're done. It's like, you can't even bring it's not even our food that we gave you.
Dude, I saw Superman last Saturday. Guy next to me took out an apple and just started eating that.
That's a little
weird.
You're
going to start finding rotisserie chicken, like bones under
the Costco
theater seats or something.
Yeah, okay, this is a good not a good segue, but just like something like to change the subject from doom and gloom and all that. Want to hear one of the grossest things I ever found under the seat when I was working as a movie theater as a senior in high school?
A dirty? I have so many guesses, I don't know.
A dirty diaper. Someone changed their baby and just left it under the seats. And that means they changed it during the movie.
Gross.
Dang.
That reminds me of this one time. So I saw the Saw movie with Chris. What's the name of the Chris Rock? Yeah, I can't believe I forgot his name. I saw the Chris Rock Saw movie back in 2021 with my buddy. There was a baby in the theater with us.
I believe it. Oh, yeah. They'll parents will bring their kids to anything. They don't care.
Definitely not 17. Should not be at a Saw movie.
No, not at a Saw movie at all. You know what they all should not bring themselves, like probably should bring a baby to? A Slaughter to Prevail show. Hey, there's the segue. I nailed it. So for those who have not, like, over the past less than a week, I want to say, before it really caught fire, there have been two releases, one from a former drum tech and one from the band themselves. And it is literally a tour industry drama. The one exciting thing everyone loves to talk about in the rock world and metal world. Hello, ARTV. Hello, John. And all everyone, ARTV, John's here. Yeah. Found many of those dirty diapers. Also found completely finished 12 packs of beer in a kid's movie once. Yeah, I believe it.
Oh, my God. Yeah. How do you sneak that in?
Oh, they don't even try to sneak. Sometimes they'll just carry it in, like in the case, you know?
My dad would like go to like Target or something and grab chocolate bars or whatever just to sneak into the movie theater. But he would like hide it in his pockets and all that stuff. Like the balls to just walk into a movie theater with a 12 pack of beer.
No, like we used to see.
I felt like.
Yeah, because the thing for us, we used to see people carrying like Wendy's and McDonald's bags and their sodas and just walk in with it. It's like, come on.
I felt like I was going to get arrested sneaking a pack of Sour Patch Kids into the movies. Like,
yes. I thought I would get kicked out.
Worst that would happen. Yeah, I didn't want to get kicked out. Also, by the way, if I'm getting like drunk and all this stuff at a kid's movie, I feel like you're probably breaking some law, right?
Yeah, and John also brings up a great point. Yeah, movie theater workers get paid crap. Like, really bad. So, but you get to see free movies when they're not working. Uh-huh. Awesome. Thanks. So.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I am not going to read both statements, both from the drum tech, Mr. Finch, and the band, because they're both quite long. I will summate them. However, I do want to point out Tank the Tech, another like Metal Reaction video channel and stuff like that. He's a tour tech and tour manager also for bands like Electric Callboy. He had a very thorough breakdown, read both statements, gave thoughts, did research, all that. I will link to it in the comments tomorrow once this is posted in the pinned comment, and I'll tag it. So here's the best summation I can give, and this is like what I'm scrolling through right now, is the first long post on his private Facebook page until he shared it out publicly. To sum up, this man was quoting and left tour mid tour from Slaughter to Prevail this year, stating a lot of different things from delayed payments. When asked about a delayed payment, getting told to go F himself, saying there was no per diem for food and things like that on days off, and a lot of other mismanagement and treatment. Meanwhile, there were other things going on. It's worth it to say this was not directed at Slaughter to Prevail. It's the management and touring company that did all this. So is everyone on the same page right now?
Yeah.
Slaughter to Prevail responded in another long post. The short summation of that short summation. There we go. Boy, I don't drink, but man, oh man. So they made a big long post as well, saying we always take care of our staff, our team members. We were not aware of a lot of this until it was posted. We were unsure why he left until he did that day of. Also, he said we were aware that this person had bad behavior before we fired him. We also were aware that one of his friends we had to fire also had problems. And then it goes back and forth. So in Slaughter to Prevail's response, they address a lot of the situations very clearly, but they also put a little more fuel on the fire unnecessarily. My best reaction to this video is one of the situations that Finch talked about was that he bought pizza out of his own pocket for the crew.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility, he knows keeping the line up and running is a top priority. That's why he chooses Grainger. Because when a drive belt gets damaged, Grainger makes it easy to find the exact specs for the replacement product he needs. And next day delivery helps ensure he'll have everything in place and running like clockwork. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Either on a day of or day off, and he wasn't reimbursed for that. So here's my best response for what's going on behind the scenes at a Slaughter to Prevail show. Yeah, well, I bought everyone pizza and I wasn't paid for it. Yeah, well, I don't like you or I don't like your friend. You get that? This is some high school cafeteria garbage. This is exactly what it is.
With that one particular instance, and this guy goes back to Tank's video. By the way, amazing video. If you haven't watched it, seriously, go watch it. He actually has like connections with Thomas Finch and like members.
He does. Like he did a lot of thorough research, like reaching out to people on the tour that he knew.
Reaching out to the people who were involved. Yeah. But he talked about it, how like, and I've had this working on film sets. If you're a crew and you're working, you are kind of like paid, like you are given like a certain amount per day to just kind of like cover basic like food and like, you know, other necessities really. But kind of like what Tank was like talking about too, it's not necessarily like, I don't think it's always the case when you get those on your days off. So I think he even said it that if he bought pizza on a day off for the crew, it may have not been seen as like a day that you would be given that allowance by the management.
There's a lot of gray area stuff and things like that. Yeah. Other things that,
and that was the best part.
And there were other things like that too, because again, a lot of these touring band members, including the band, are not American. They have bank cards from overseas. There's delays in a lot of payments and stuff like that as well. Delayed payments on tour happen everywhere for every tour, and it's not always their fault. And the band making the statement on their pages, it felt like management stepped just like, hey, we're taking control of your feed and posting this. I kind of got that vibe.
It wasn't even that big of a deal when, you know,
these
Finch
are a lot
was
of,
speaking initially.
Yes.
It wasn't that bad until Slaughter to Prevail tried to chime in. And then it was like, oh, maybe this is really bad.
Yeah. And like, there's a lot of things back and forth. Again, the statements are long, and I'll link to both articles. I'll link to Tank the Tech's video. Very good stuff on those. Like, for every serious accusation, there's another accusation that's less than he said, she said. And I get being so frustrated that you want to vent and make a big statement after you quit your job. I get it. I did it myself at the hospital. However, my situation was wildly different than this. I didn't name names and I didn't go to this level. Okay. I don't know if anyone looks good in this situation.
No, I don't think anyone really won. Really.
Yeah. And this is where it comes to the point I want to talk about, especially for this. Regardless, I can't imagine this will go to court. I just can't. Also, Finch said he has been caught up on his payment by now, even after he wrote the statement. His payment's just there. So it's like, and you're still that angry and still that upset with whatever, whatever, whatever. Okay. All that being said,
attention.
He is for his drum company is a big thing too, because like he has his own drum. He's a drum tech. He made custom drum heads and things like that as well. My topic that I want to focus this on, I want to ask, because I'm not a big Slaughter to Prevail fan. I have not heard a ton of their stuff outside of singles. Slaughter to Prevail is now 100% a band that when you hear the name, you don't think of the music first. You think of all the accusations. You think of the controversy, who they tour with, all the things been, all the drama behind it, wrestling a bear, bare knuckle, like fist fighting, tournaments, all this other stuff. All these other things, you don't think of the music second, you don't even think of the music first or second anymore. It's like third. And that's this band now. And that's not great. And I'm not saying that's completely their fault. I'm just saying this is that type of band with controversy that is now in the limelight, not for the music anymore. And they just had an album come out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's the tough part. But like, even Finch himself will say that, like, you should not direct your hatred towards the band, because even in his initial statement, he had nothing but nice things to say about all the members. It was the management that had a problem. He even, again, in the Tank talks about it. He even had a follow up statement where it's like, again, I have to clarify this. I am not angry at the band, but that didn't blow up either. So that got kind of swept under the rug, really.
Correct.
And so, like, I'm not saying that you don't, there's not, I even say this as a Slaughter to Prevail fan, a very public Slaughter to Prevail fan. I'm not saying that there's no reason to not like the band, like, but at the same time, too, you have to justify this, and I don't think it's justifiable that they got as much hatred in this situation as they did, because again, after those initial statements, a lot of news outlets again just kind of decided, oh yeah, this is entirely the band's fault. But there's not as much communication with the management and the crew and the band as you might think. So
you know what? I think that's kind of the band's fault. I'm going to counter on your point here, only because if the band hadn't gone on social media and responded the way they did, it wouldn't have been taken on to the band as their fault. You know what I mean? Because Finch flat out was like, tour management didn't do this, you know, he said tour management, the guys in the band are awesome. And then Slaughter to Prevail posted on their pages a response, which kind of feels like, oh, maybe they actually did have something to do with what was going on behind the scenes. You know what I mean?
But timeline wise, I think a lot of people saw the statements put out like this, like their articles about, like, directed towards the band themselves, and then Slaughter to Prevail responded, and then that kind of fueled the fire. But initially, it was like a thing where, again, timeline wise, people were misdirecting their hatred to the band. Finch kind of had to clarify, yeah, that's not the case. It was the management, and then Slaughter to Prevail released her statement, and it was like, okay, yeah, this did not help you at all.
Yeah. And my thing is also, this is only adding to the stack of things that are controversial for Slaughter to Prevail. A lot of the controversy does come from Alex Terrible. I'm not going to skate around that. That's where the majority of it comes from. He does not exactly have a good track record of making things better for himself and the band, whether innocent or bad, past or present. Here's the thing, though. When things like this happen, and this is the response, we also want people to know we had warnings about this person before the tour. We gave them a chance and stayed quiet. We never shared any of their past or present behavior public, even when he had reason to, but now that line has been crossed. Another crew member close to this individual was also not asked to return because of poor work. That is some he said, she said, high school cafeteria stuff. Like, this post could have been a one pager, been very clear, got all the notes out, made it direct, and probably saved them a lot of trouble. But I think feelings are strong and heated from both a former drum tech who's very bitter and a band who's known for getting angry. Is that a polite way to say it?
I think both people just let emotions get the better of them when it came to their statements, and that just, it just did not paint anyone in a good light.
Correct.
Yeah.
Someone just said, it's like the one guy wanting to sue Coldplay, the former CEO. And Coldplay had nothing to do, has not at fault at that at all. That ain't on them. You want to blame someone?
So,
yeah, come on now.
Yeah, no, it's like, imagine the CEO guy tries to prove it in court. Yeah, they knew I was with another woman, right? And they told the cameraman to get me.
Oh, and the and his
How
wife.
Dare you infringe on my privacy?
Yeah. And also his wife, or now soon to be ex-wife and daughter, have also made statements. They are so done with him.
I would be.
I know,
too.
Right?
Yeah.
So
that's gotta be the worst way to find out too. It's like, oh wait, what's it? Like, you just open Instagram and see your husband on a cold trending. Play.
And that's how it was too for the daughter. That's how it was. Yeah. It's like, ooh.
Oh like, God. I feel.
Damn,
I
you
hate.
Coldplay.
Dude, like when those situations happen, I feel so bad for the kids, because you know they are not going to hear the end of it at school.
And the kids are adults.
Children
too,
are vicious.
And the kids were like, the daughter was an adult too. Like, she was in college or something. So it's not like she was young. But at the same time, it's
But I think they also had like younger kids.
Probably.
I think I read that somewhere. Yeah.
It's yucky no matter what.
It is. Speaking of yucky, and this is a great segue into that, the comments for Alex Terrible and other Slaughter to Veil posts are not exactly as dreamy and well said as you would hope. There is a lot of rage in the Slaughter to Veil fan base camp on both sides. And if you want to go through the comment section, you go right ahead. Maybe go for a walk after. Boy, I could say that for a lot of Slaughter to Veil news posts, not the music. Again, this further proves my point. We're not talking a thing about the music at all. It's just, this is the stuff that surrounds the band now. It's just
spent
how it
far
is.
Too much time talking about how busted his face was after that bare knuckle fight. Didn't talk about the music, though.
Yeah. To be fair, he brought it up himself, too. He did. Yeah.
I mean, like, Alex does put himself in these situations where it's like he tries to get attention through like other ventures, yes. Like with the Bears and all that stuff, or the bare knuckle fights. And look, again, I say this as a Slaughter to Veil fan. I don't mind it as long as it's like done, as long as it doesn't take away from the music, which is the main thing that.
Yeah.
That I like Slaughter to Veil for. It's just like, but even I will say that like after a while, it's like, it gets a little bit annoying.
It's a lot.
Or it gets a little bit pretentious.
I know at Incarceration last weekend, 2 weekends ago, whatever it was, they tried to set it up on film and record for the biggest wall of death ever at Shawshank Prison, you know? It's like, okay, that's something for the concert. That's something fun. But no one's talking about that because people's talking about this and everything else that Alex Terrible has said and done. So
I would rather talk about that. And they also got some new fans at Warped Tour, Long Beach.
They did.
People were like, oh, have you heard about this? And a lot of people were stoked about it.
They did.
Yeah, no, they've been... No, they put on a good show. I'm just saying this objectively. They put on a good show. I like their music well enough. They have a lot going for them. It's just like a thing where it's like it sucks that this type of stuff and like everything else is like the thing that Slaughter to Veil just becomes synonymous with.
And I will say this too. And this is more coming from more of an outsider fan that's not super familiar with everything about the band. I do feel somewhat bad for the other four members of Slaughter to Veil behind Alex Terrible. I do wonder if it's a situation where they're just trying to be in the band and play the music. And oh, what did Alex say now? That type of thing. It's like, it's kind of like the, you know, Mick Mars, I think about how much crap he probably put up with Vince Neil and Nikki Sixx. And that's you could think of other situations and comparisons like that. The 200 different musicians that played for Wes Scantlin in Puddle of Mud over the past 20 years. Like, oh, what did Wes do now? You know?
Yeah, that's a little bit different. As far as I know, no one else is Archibald has like said anything like that. So that's kind of like a little bit hearsay.
No. I mean, like I'm thinking more. Just saying, like, if that's how they feel, and I hope it's not.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That's what I mean by that. So, we will keep up to date. I'm working on something else with another YouTuber that, like, knows more about Slaughter to Veil. I want to have a talk with him about it, too. But at the same time, like, that hasn't happened yet, so I won't, like, promote it too much yet. I just, at the same time, this is, like, a situation where Slaughter to Veil is getting bigger. They're not going to get smaller right now. They're going to keep going. I saw one comment, like, they're touring with bands of their same type, and that's going to keep them growing in that pocket. Last year, there was the tour with Marilyn Manson, Five Finger Death Punch, Slaughter to Veil. That is, like, the stereotype tour you would think of for something like this now. But at the same time, that's the band that's going to keep getting bigger. And I don't know what's going to happen next that gets them back on the music discussion, considering Grizzly just came out.
Yeah, I hope they get back on that track, because I'm not a huge fan like Rowan. I'm not. And I am probably slightly more of a casual fan than Luke. I know all of the singles. I like some of their collaborations here and there. I do think some of what they've done musically is good, and I do enjoy it. I don't know all of it, but I hope that we can start focusing more on that. I want to learn more about it. I want to hear more about it organically. You know what I mean? And I don't want to hear or have to see yeah. busted ass face.
Fine, I'll turn my webcam off. I'm sorry. Get it? Also, from the chat from Ellie Yeet, Alex, terrible behavior. Am I right?
Too easy, bro.
Yeah, come on now. We got to step up our game.
And no, seriously, we have standards here.
I've set high standards on this channel. All right.
I'd say there were high standards, but we have standards.
All right. Yeah. That's fair. There are some standards there. Yes. There we go. Yeah. So let's move on to a different discussion. And it kind of leads into this, a band that played at Warped Tour. Long Beach was a unique festival. Is that a way to say it? From everything we've heard and seen? I'll say this. I'm going to play this, just a little clips of this. This is like during the day on day one and all the footage and stuff. This is not even a shred of how many people were there. 85,000 across 2 days. And from what everyone's told me, including people that worked it, publicists, media people, label reps, bands, they oversold this thing by a lot, a whole lot. And that's rough in a situation where it's roughly 100 degrees and no one can move.
Yeah, dude, honestly, that sounds brutal. Like, chat, I was talking to Luke earlier, like right before we got on the call. I live in New York and we are going through a heat wave and it's 100 degrees. I am miserable. I walk outside and I could feel every particle touching my body and I hate it.
Yeah. And also. Yeah. And also, Alex, I don't know how you do it out here just in that weather. But at the same time, when we're out in the stank heat wave and like they say, well, in L.A., there's no humidity. We're also not surrounded by 40,000 people and not able to move all day in the sun.
See, it's a dry heat and then the bodies just create a little bit of humidity. So it balances it out a little, you know,
you know what else is a dry heat? A dry heat? An oven. Yeah. Doesn't mean I want to climb in. Yeah.
Or you go into a dry sauna, but like you only go in there for like 10, 15 minutes. You're pushing it.
I will say this from the fan perspective, most of the, it went as expected. A lot of people that I know that were at both say it was as rough as DC, just the weather and the venue were different. I also heard from many people that were at both saying they would have preferred a different venue, not a different city, a different venue. There's a huge difference. And that I kind of get. Tough crap. Next year, they're going to be in the same venues anyway, at least for DC and Long Beach.
I like this venue.
Okay.
I don't know. I like this area. I do. Yeah.
That's fine. So there were
personal opinion.
Sure. And outside of sound issues from the stages, that happens at any festival. Things like that do happen. I'm not going to fault that. Oh, Warped Tour does it again. No, that's not on Warped Tour. Most of the bands had good performances. I will not take that on them. Okay. A couple key points I want to point out that did get a lot of attention and traction. The big one in a good way, Dropkick Murphys said, you know what? Screw it. They dedicated a big old song to even my non-music friends were sharing out First Class Loser and showing off the Epstein file things and Donald Trump's picture while they sang to it. They knew their audience and they did not care. So you know what? That's more of a spirit of punk at a pop punk emo concert and festival. They at least did that. That got a lot of attention, especially on TikTok and Instagram a lot. So using your voice. Then we have someone who's having trouble using his voice. See what I did there? I'm actually pretty proud of that. You guys ready? You ready for the silence? And boy, oh boy, the silence is correct. That's full volume. Like you could pretty much hear conversations going on.
Can I just say one thing between like the hat, beard and jersey and the fact that he's playing country, Danny Warsnop looks like Luke Combs. Like he's like uncanny.
I get what you're saying. And See, he's wearing clothes that a normal human would wear. That is improvement. What's not improvement that he was still relying on the backtracks, people were saying. It was mostly new material, and this time he busted out the acoustics for a country ballad that he does.
He did his stupid freaking country material.
Yeah.
I forgot that he was doing that, and I happily forgot about it.
I was going to say, if he wanted to do that like at a one-off, like on that tour where they're about to support Chevelle, at least then I would get it. Not at Warped Tour. Especially
I guarantee
after,
you, not even the Asking Alexandria fans probably even knew a single word of his country material. Because put a gun to my head, I couldn't tell you a single thing about his country stuff.
Yeah, and I know, and he had a whole album come out, I want to say a few years back, but I'm just thinking, wouldn't you want to be like on a big rebound? It's like, okay, DC was a nightmare. We have to step up. We have to come back. We're going on tour again.
We have to play some favorites.
We got to make sure the crowd remembers us and loves us and spin that around. Ooh, this is what you get. Also,
we should just do the exact opposite of that.
We're gonna double down. We're gonna double down. Ugh. Yeah. I just think about this also. My attitude about being in the Baking Sun in an overcrowded venue all day, and you wait for this.
I would be furious, honestly. I probably would be
so mad. So mad.
I don't know. If I waited 7 hours, just like, you know, the barricade waiters, they wait all day for the final act. They rush. They don't go to the bathroom. They don't get food. They wait. And then you got to wait through that.
I would be so mad. And when I was younger, back in my youth, when I was spry and I did the barricade all day.
Yeah.
And I mean all day. I would have been livid if I was one of these Asking Alexandria fans. I'd have been so mad.
I would have been confused. I'm like, what the heck's going on here?
Dude, again, it's pure like, I can't even confidently say even that many Asking Alexandria fans would even know his country stuff. Cause like,
yeah, I get that.
Again, I don't even know. Even when I was more involved in Asking Alexandria and I was like talking to people online about like their music and their activity, no one would bring it up. Yeah. So
also
this is like,
and I say this honestly,
total whiplash.
I'm surprised there was not more heckling, because that would have been the perfect opportunity. Would everyone quiet? That would have been the time to heckle if someone was trying to do that. So hats off to the tour, to the audience for the audience for indulging and putting up with that. I don't want to say enabling, because they didn't have anywhere else to go. It's not like they could do anything. So
yeah, I feel like the silence is kind of like is telling, though.
I know.
Everybody was tired, too. We're all older. We're not 13 anymore.
Sunburnt to death, dehydrated. And you're listening to Danny Warstop play a country tune. Like, oh, well, that's what I wanted.
Metal, because if you have like that that awesome like metal core that amps you up and gets you moving, that's when you don't care about like being sunburnt or tired. You just be like, Yeah, this song rocks. I'm going to get into the mosh pit. I'm going to rage and I'm just going to have a good time.
Yeah. Yep. And someone does bring up, and this is true, his indie label that he does stuff with is called Earache Records. They have other bands. And yes, that's the name. Yes. The chat, you have to step up your joke game, please. Come on.
I'm sorry.
No, I was going to say, were there other problems at Warped Tour? Yeah. Woo. Woo. This was every night, both nights.
And SpongeBob soundbite.
Yes. This happened a lot. I'm not talking just like, oh, this is one little scene. No. Thousands of people, and the rideshare pickup was pretty good far away, if I'm correct. Alex might be able to like let us know more about that, just like distance-wise. But
the Exodus.
Yes.
That's fun.
Yeah.
It happens after all of the big, super crowded shows. Okay. Remember Sick New World? We had a little bit of an exodus out of that venue.
Absolutely.
When we were young. Yeah. You jam multiple tens of thousands of people into one spot and they're all not 13 anymore. It's going to be a very long, slow walk back to the hotel.
Yeah. It's like a little zombie march or something going on.
There were other ones on there, like people like Walking Dead, doing that.
Like, it's like the scene in a horror movie where you got like this big zombie horde coming at you
at night. Like the only that kind of gives Aftershock vibes. It's just it's not in the park and it's not pitch dark. So
you don't have to worry about that bridge and falling into the water here
and the hill and like they did say it was just as dusty. people that go to Aftershock and Warped Tour, they said it was just as dusty. That's a nightmare for me. However, most of the fans, I don't even say most, I say they were fine with it. It wasn't the worst thing ever. Why do I say it that way? I hope this is stuff Warped Tour can build on. If they're going to have the same venues next year, and we already know they are for DC and Long Beach, exact same venue. That's stuff to build on. That's stuff they can work on. They don't have to have Pooh River and septic line leaks at DC. They can fix parking. For Long Beach, they could have more parking and shuttles or something, and they can build shade. Shade is not expensive to build for a massive multi-million dollar thing like this, and shade should not be a VIP luxury.
And maybe sign on bands who actually will sing their songs.
You know what? I had one thing to add to that point right there. I was so hopeful for like one huge legacy Warped Tour act, and I did not get it, and I was super disappointed. You know, I just I had my hopes up for no reason. I know I got my hopes up for no reason, but I'm like, you know what? This is a huge anniversary year.
This would have been
the one. They have to pull something else out.
This would have been
something else out.
The Long Beach one would have been the one to do that at too. I get that. Like I've said before, Long Beach had the best lineup. This one would have been the main one to pull a big, huge surprise or a big one big name. And no.
Just one. And I was so sad when it didn't happen. I'm like, damn it. This was a huge anniversary. You missed such an opportunity.
I mean, I guess they thought Asking Alexandra would be that legacy act, but clearly that's not.
I'd be a little upset if that's what they thought. Yeah, no. Then again, they did give them like closing. I don't know if they closed out the stage in Long Beach also, but they closed it out in DC, one of the side stages. So they were higher up there. Also, final thing for Warped Tour. If you're not going to get on the tour, make yourself known. Band arrested after gorilla set outside Warped Tour Long Beach. You know what? That's ingenuity. They had their little setup there. They played a few songs. All the people leaving got an extra little concert until they got arrested. Look at all the cop cars, by the way. Is that really necessary, LAPD or Long Beach Police Department? That many squad cars to take down these guys? Really?
Ozzy Osbourne, rock and roll!
Jeez, I think that's like an unmarked. Like, goodness!
It's like they have like three stars in GTA
and a helicopter. Get out of here!
Like three stars in GTA.
You don't need that's a when helicopter. The helicopter
shows up. Oh my god!
Goodness!
Come on!
For a like a three piece band, were they actively doing the Rage Against the Machine? How I could just kill a man lyrics? I don't think so. Okay.
That's ridiculous.
Get out of here. All right. If you were at Warped Tour, let us know in the comments what you thought. I do want to know because I was at the DC one. I want to know what people thought of the Long Beach one. We all have friends that were there, like industry friends, fans, whatever it might be. Anyway.
Dude, that would be so cool being like, oh yeah, I got a police helicopter called on me.
I will say this, if that's how you get, that's a better way to get noticed, and that's a misdemeanor at best. Also, they could probably get a talk down to just a fine, considering that's a little bit of overkill for the reaction from the police from Long Beach. Lawyer's probably going to be like, I think he went a little overboard with these boys.
Honestly, these guys are going to put all of this in their EPK, and labels are going to be like, oh.
Their next album cover is going to be like the singer getting like shoved into a police car.
the mugshots, Warped Tour mugshots. Yeah.
The mugshot like album cover. How many times?
And they're all like this. The big thumbs up. Anyway, we move on, fighting another different type of system. And this is one I am totally behind. King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard are the next band to completely abandon Spotify. To which I say, and I haven't talked really to Alex and Rowan about this, they're not off every other streaming service. They're just saying, screw you, Spotify. And I am all aboard that. I've been on Team Tidal for the last 2 years. Tidal is better. It's more organized. It has all the same features. Spotify's, for those who don't know, Daniel Ek is not a good person. And instead of investing all that money into paying the artists more, which Spotify does not do a good job of at all, he keeps saying artists need to make more music to get more payouts. That's his famous quote. Meanwhile, he famously does not get a salary. He just works. Would you like to know how much money he made this past year just selling shares over Spotify?
Like his own shares. Several hundred million.
Okay. We're playing Price is Right rules. You guys know I like this game. Right. Alex, how much money do you think Daniel Ek made last year just from selling stocks alone? And keep in mind, he does not get a salary. He just works for his company for free. So guess how much money he made just selling stocks of his own, of this company he has. Just guess.
I don't know. 140 million.
Okay. Rowan?
I'm going to say 200 million.
Okay. Those are very fair guesses. I cannot fault either of them. Rowan wins.
70s. Did I? Could you even say I win? I was like, I was barely half.
Wow. That's disgusting.
Also, they had to add this too, just as total compensation as chairman and CEO, which included salary and others. So this is AI overview. I don't buy that as much. But all the other things like this, over 300 million just from shares alone, which is the equal to gaining 115 billion streams.
I just gotta say,
oh my gosh.
Like, I just gotta say, like, one thing, like, if I had literally $300 million at my disposal
in a year. That's not even net worth. That's just 1 year.
That's not. Yeah, no, that's not even counting all the money he made beforehand. If I made $300 million in 1 year, I would be like, okay, I don't have to do literally anything else for the rest of my life. I don't have to answer to anybody. I can literally just go on a hedonistic bender for the rest of my life, and I would probably still be rich at the end of it.
You wouldn't go on.
I would just retire.
You wouldn't invest into AI killing drones, because that's what he's doing right now. That's not a joke.
I would go to Cabo and blow all my money on a casino, probably.
Yeah. At least then you're not trying to get anyone hurt.
I just want to chill on a beach. What's wrong with you guys?
Yeah, I agree. And a PSA to those unaware, Spotify CEO Daniel Ek invests millions in AI military drone technology. We just removed our music from the platform. Can we put pressure on these Dr. Evil tech bros to do better? Join us on another platform. First of all, Dr. Evil tech bros is a great term. Well done. Well done with the description. Number two, he kind of does look like Daniel Ek does kind of look like Dr. Evil now that I think about it. Number three, the guy makes so much money in 1 year, but he's telling all these bands and artists that are struggling every day, well, you just need to work harder and make more music for me. Get out of here. No.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
I work harder.
I know, right? So I, from the bottom of my heart, if you've ever wanted to give a chance to another streaming service, I say, I'm not paid to say this, by the way, don't think I'm getting ad revenue or this. Tidal is great. The sound quality is better and it has all the same features, and you can import your playlist from Spotify if you want to do it that way. They have all the other like curated daily playlists. They have all the music you can imagine and more. It's worth trying, and you get a free trial anyway.
And I'm going to be the 90-year-old grandma in here and say, buy CDs, too.
That's fine also. Absolutely. I pre-order vinyls for the bands I love. I still do that, too. I'm just saying, if you want to do streaming, and like, okay, this sucks to say, Amazon makes enough money, but if you're already paying for Amazon Prime, just use Amazon Music, okay? If you're already paying for it, just do that. There you go.
I've been like, kind of about that thing. I've been trying to like, buy CDs for albums that I really like a lot more. And also I'm thinking about starting to collect vinyl. That's like, it's like the same thing when it comes to like video games on Steam or just online.
Sure.
It's like the fact that there is like just even on a lark, the companies who make these games or make these products can just take them away. And I would just not be able to access like these things anymore. It's like, you're kind of reminded you don't own this or something, or yeah. Like, Even if on paper you own this could be easily taken away just by deleting some code.
Yeah, even really. by accident, it can happen too. So,
it's like a thing where it's like, so if it's a piece of media that I especially love, and if physical versions of that media is available, I will splurge to grab it.
Mm-hmm.
Totally, yeah.
Babe, he looks like more like Lex Luthor, especially giving, that one photo.
He's giving Lex Luthor and like Lex Luthor, young Dr. Evil vibes. Absolutely. Especially in the tux.
Sorry, Dr. Evil.
Why do you feel bad for Dr. Evil? Boy, is that saying something, by the way.
The actual
Dr. Evil was fun. Remember when he went on Jerry Springer?
That's true. That's true. Dr. Evil did get some laughs out of us. That's very true. So
he went straight in the end. He's fine.
First time I ever watched a Jerry Springer part in those movies, I was like on the floor rolling.
Mm-hmm. And that's fine. See, Daniel Ek, if he went on Jerry, I know the show's not around anymore, man. Does anyone else get the vibe also? Something really bad is going to end up happening to a guy like this, the route he's going, investing in AI murder drones.
What happened in New York?
No, not too long ago. But that also just happened too. Another CEO got shot and killed.
That's what I'm referring to. Remember, yep. I work in real estate.
You do.
Now.
I know. Yeah. For those not aware, the New York shooting that happened. Yeah. It turns out another CEO, rich CEO, was shot and killed. So yeah, that's happening. Anyway, back to our positive fun time podcast. We're going back.
Everything's on fire, but it's fine.
Yes. We're going back to Vegas now. One thing I think is pretty cool, but it's a rumor. The other thing is confirmed and not so cool. The first thing that's a rumor that I think is going to happen. Metallica might be heading to the Sphere for a residency. And you know what? I think that's pretty awesome. That's a great idea. I hope they contribute some of the ticket money to charity, because those tickets are going to be insanely expensive.
Oh, yeah.
But that's a once in a lifetime show. Whatever residency they do, that'll be worth it to go to.
We get confirmation today, or is it still just a rumor?
Still just a rumor, but the fact, like, Metallica rumors usually have some weight to them. And this is something, and this will be for 2026. This is something I can actually see happening, you know?
If there was a metal band to play in the Sphere, it would be Metallica, because, like, arguably they are the most commercially successful metal band, and they're probably the most recognizable metal band.
I mean, if they could do the theater, like the movie they did Through the Never and stuff like that years ago, they can make custom visuals for the Sphere in 6 months or a year and make it pretty awesome.
That would be so fun. You guys got to fly out. It's only a couple hours drive for me.
I would go to Vegas.
If I could get out to that one, I would.
However, I don't want to do a down payment.
I had a terrible experience last time I went to Vegas.
That's fine, but we'll give you a better Vegas experience then. I'm just saying, I would go if I could. I just hope I don't have to put the equivalent of a down payment on a car into going for a ticket, you know, because I don't know if review tickets and photo passes are going to be as easy to come by for something like this.
Yeah.
However, we will keep you up to date on this. We will find out. The other thing in Vegas that's, dang it, Forbes, the other thing in Vegas that's happening that is confirmed, hey, remember how over the past 6 months to the year, we keep making fun about how Kiss isn't retiring, and we keep making jokes about it? Yeah. For those listening,
that retirement did not last long.
No, and for those listening, I'm going to try to describe the image from the website. Kiss cruise landlocked in Vegas. What does that mean? Think of it like you're treating it like a cruise, but you're really in a hotel in Vegas. The Kiss cruise in Vegas. Landlocked.
This feels patronizing.
This is not, everything has to be a gimmick. Not everything.
You heard of Kiss, though.
That's what I'm saying. This is gimmicky for the sake of gimmick at this point. This is like Gene Simmons. You have to be stopped.
It's just like, why call it Kiss Cruise? You're in a hotel.
I was going to say,
just say you're performing in Vegas and people will still come to see you.
I was just going to say, do something like a casino theme if you have to, like the Vegas, like Kiss Cruise. I know you do the Kiss Cruise.
Yeah, have like a little, illustration of like the slot machine. Yeah. And it's like,
used to have their Kiss Cruise, but it was an actual cruise. You don't have to call this a cruise. It's in the desert.
You got to have the alliteration, and Kiss Casino doesn't flow as easily as Kiss Cruise does. So
it flows enough.
I understand.
It flows well enough. Kiss Craft coming to Vegas. There you go. they have the limited packages available. Okay. How fast can we do this? Oh, I'm going to click on this book now button. Whoo boy. It has the lineup, everything. Three nights in the hotel. I'm going to it. I don't. Ultimate.
Oh my god. Oh my god. 1600. 3100 per person. Screw you.
Oh, I hope
a cruise that costs that much.
I hope the people listening do come to YouTube at least just to check out our reaction. By the way, that 3100 per person. Do you see what I'm highlighting right now? It's sold out. Sold out. So there are some Kiss fans.
Really is a thing.
Do Kiss fans have that much drug money they have to launder that quickly?
Yes, most of them are a lot older than us.
Man, the signature package for $1,200, that's a steal. You have to do at least two people. The signature experience package, okay. The ultimate experience, be closest to the stage with seats in the coveted gold circle. So the $3,100 people don't even get to be in the closest ones?
The ultimate experience definitely probably, it probably costs like $5,000. I don't know why they're not showing the price for that one. But if I had to guess.
They probably get to be their roadies for the day.
Ooh,
and then they have to.
Well done. Yes.
Oh my god.
And each, like, if there's only four of them, like the for each band member. No, I want to be the roadie for Paul. That type of thing.
By the way, I want to say, like, someone in the chat said Kiss Casino would have been a better name. Good on you, sir. That is so. You should.
Mother, I just said that.
Yeah, that's what.
You
that's
get a job in Kiss.
That's what Alex said. Marketing. Yeah, Kiss Casino.
Oh my god, sorry, I missed her. Yeah. I missed that. I'm sorry.
I was gonna say, like, I was talking like, no, that alliteration works fine, and it would have fit with Vegas, and it would. This just seems, the logo itself seems lame. It's like, look, it's a boat in the middle of Vegas. Wacky,
it's
right?
It's just so patronizing.
Look, you can see the sphere in the background.
Oh, can you? Sure can. Oh, yeah, oh, it has the lightning bolts. Yeah. Oh, Kiss would come back for the sphere if they offered it. They would come back out of retirement. They don't care.
So is Kiss really at that stage now where they're just in a residency in Vegas and you just see like these old fat man trying to reclaim the days of their 20s?
That was 10 years ago. I also want to say this is a 3-night cruise. Everyone listening, I did the biggest finger quotes for that. 3 nights for $3,100 per person.
I mean, that's like a grand a night.
And that's not and that's not including food. That's not including travel and how to get there.
That doesn't even include hotels, does it?
That's the hotel. Yes. Yeah, so that does include the hotel.
Oh, that is hotel. Okay.
But even so, Kiss Unmasked electric set. And so everyone's saying they're just doing unmasked acoustic sets. No, they are not. So, okay. All right. Everyone feel good? Everyone feel good about themselves now that they're not spending this money?
My wife just said it was $4,900 for the ultimate experience package. My God.
$4,900 per person. And it's sold out. I don't know how many were available, but maybe we should go to Vegas for that and just try to, like, you know, rub elbows with us. Like, hey, we know you got money to invest. We're a much better investment than whatever this is going to be. I promise.
Oh, I thought you were trying to get us involved. I'm like, what are we going to do? The podcast that rocked on the Kiss cruise?
No, I'm talking to like the people that spent this type of money on something like this. Those are the people we want to like make friends with, right?
Yeah, I see.
A little sugar daddy thing going on.
If they're spending $5,000 per ticket for this, you better believe we could get some funds out of them. Come on now. So. Before we let me get this here. Before we go to a few other things, I know we're going to be running late because we started a few minutes late. There was just a lot of stuff to cover. First up, we got to go to our album versus album. Last week, we started a new series where we talked about album versus album, just a quick debate, think Rock Coliseum style, but just once a week, album versus album. When we did it to a tribute to Ozzy last week, we did Black Sabbath versus Paranoid. I put it on the community tab. The live stream last week voted for Paranoid. Well, the community tab had 4,300 votes, and it was Paranoid by a landslide. Is that kind of what we expected?
Kind of, yeah, because I mean, like, even people who are not crazy into Sabbath, those are like that's the big three on that album.
Sure. So
that's definitely a more commercially known
absolutely
album.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. So that being said, we need to make a new poll. And I remember we were talking about this in chat. We're going to continue the Ozzy theme just for one more week. These are the Ozzy albums, and we're not doing Blizzard of Oz because that would be unfair.
Too easy.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So, which ones are we doing? Off the top of my head, it's No More Tears versus
Diary of a Madman.
Diary of a Madman. Thank you. So, everyone in the chat, which Ozzy album do you prefer? You can vote right now. Myself, I'll go first. I would say No More Tears just because it was the more dynamic side of Ozzy, and it showed more range that he was continuing to grow and evolve on his own as well. That showed a lot more of that. It was not Blizzard of Oz, but at the same time, it was so much strong stuff. And some of the collaborations and guitar work behind Ozzy as well was killer. So that's just me. Alex, how about you?
I agree. No more tears over the other one, because honestly, the main reason is because I can't get over the groove in No More Tears, the single. Mm-hmm. That song just hooks me in every single time.
Yeah, mm-hmm. that bass line, it goes so hard. Yeah.
Yeah, it's so good. And then when you have Mama, I'm Coming Home to kind of contrast that. Hell yeah, I love that album.
I was going to say, before I get to you, so next year when they have Back to the Beginning in theaters, can you imagine how many people are going to be crying now at Mama, I'm Coming Home when they see it?
Dude, I still get choked up right now.
Well, think about the theaters when everyone sees him again and then he's saying about, like, and you know he's about to die.
It's like, yeah. I don't even cry like all that much, and I'll probably be needing like a tissue box or something.
See, all of this is waterproof, and I'm thankful.
you better have Thompson's water seal when you see that movie in January.
We'll just do some clear coat.
Yeah, like the fence spray, the deck sealants. Just get that for you. Rowan, how about you?
First of all, I just imagine you start crying, then you just take a break and be like, shh. But no, yeah, for me too, it's gonna be No More Tears, because of like all the points you guys made, but also at the same time too, it's also like I just also have like more nostalgia for that album specifically. That was one of the first albums where it's like I listened to the full album, not just the hits off of it. And again, it just feels like I just feel like Ozzy is just like has more range. He just has like more kind of like more style. He just kind of like experienced more styles and like stuff than compared to Diary of a Madman. Not to say that album isn't great, but I just like,
yeah,
I just like No More Tears more.
I think that's very fair. Well, let's look at the chat right now. I think that's a good amount of votes. I'll leave it up for a little more just in case while we talk about other stuff as well. If you're listening, it'll be on the community tab. This poll will be a separate one, and then we'll give it the full results next week and we'll continue this on. Let us know what you think in the comments, which one, Diary of a Madman or No More Tears. So, that being said, we're now going to talk about upcoming albums and tours and the song of the week. Albums, tours, a lot of stuff got announced this week. A lot. What tours are we looking at this week that got announced, Alex?
Oh, almost forgot that was my job. Bullet for My Valentine announced some Australian dates for the Poison 20th anniversary tour with Trivium.
Okay. Pretty good.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's good. It's good. Seven Dust announced an intimate acoustic tour celebrating 21 years of Southside Double Wide. That's going to be really fun.
Not coming near me. That sucks. Go on.
I'm so sorry. Seven Dust is fantastic live. I think this acoustic tour will be really rad.
Yep.
And then Deftones announced Dia de los Deftones 2025.
I'd go to that if I could.
Got to gear up for that one. Mm-hmm. Don Bracco announced some tour dates for 2026. Robert Plant announced a couple of 2025 tour dates for his band. I don't think so.
I don't know.
His band Saving Grace.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's all I have.
Dave, Diaz de los Deftones, Day of Deftones. They always do a great job in San Diego. That's where it's right, at Petco Park. I think that's where it's at.
Are you asking me?
It's okay. I was confirming. It's Petco Park, I believe, in San Diego. They always do a great job with the one-day festival there that ends with Deftones. Yeah, I would go to that. I believe Def Heaven's going to be there this year, too.
Yep. So. Def Heaven, Rico Nasty, and
what
Clips.
Did you call me? No, I'm just kidding. So, thank you very much. Rowan, what albums do we have coming out on August 1st? And wow, it's August finally.
Yeah. First, I will say it's not no crazy big names this week, but we have some solid names. That's a lot of, first of all, I want to get it out of the way because I enjoy them kind of personally. Suicide Boys are coming with Thy Kingdom Come.
Okay.
So, you know, nice like rap duo, kind of like Lyle. I
know the name. Like I'm unfamiliar with the music really, but I know the name.
Yeah. But besides that, we actually have a lot of metalcore coming out this Friday. So first of all, we have Accuse with Dealers of Doom. They are a German metalcore band, and this is their sophomore album. Okay. I listened to their first one back when that first came out back in 2021, but I haven't really kind of come back to it like since then. But, you know, once I kind of like read about this and do my research, I went back to some of the songs I remember liking. And again, they're still solid. So definitely looking out for that one. We also have Call of Karen with Tales of Tragedy. They are another metalcore, deathcore band. They've been around a lot longer, much longer than Accused. And honestly, again, just like very solid stuff. And then finally, this is arguably the biggest name, Fit for a King with Lonely God. Really like Fit for a King. I seriously like again, if you guys are into metalcore, i.e. me, just a lot to look out for, just a lot to be excited about. And so, yeah, no, I've just got a lot to be excited about. And also, I don't know if it counts because it was today, but Dying Wish released a new song too. And honestly, it's solid so far. Oh, yeah, you brought it up.
Our song of the week, chosen by Luke, not Rowan, is Dying Wishes, I Know You're Not Around, from their upcoming album that also got announced today, Flesh Stays Together, out this September. Yeah, we did not talk. We did not talk about this, but yeah, just perfect timing. Dying Wish released a new song.
Dude, I saw Dying Wish open for Spiritbox back in April, and I immediately became a fan. They, like, Spiritbox even brought the singer for that band out for to help with Softspine. Mm-hmm. I really enjoyed that show. They put on a great show, and I liked the new song. So, yeah, no, Dying Wish, give them the try, too. I'm sorry if I took the words out of your mouth there.
No, it makes, makes my job easier. Dying Wish also going to be on tour with Poppy this fall, which will be really cool to see. Song will be pinned in the pin comment with all the other stuff as well. Thank you guys for sharing that stuff out. Let's get moving. I know we have most of the hits.
Wait, I think I did misspeak. Okay. My notes right here say Bullet for My Valentine without Trivium, but I think my mouth said with Trivium.
That's
so
I was
apologize.
Wondering. Maybe I was wondering.
I heard it, but I didn't want to interrupt you.
Yeah, well, they've toured. They've toured like 20 times together, so I believed it when I heard it. So
I did.
I didn't know if there was like maybe a contract thing. Yeah.
So
I read it wrong. It says right here on my notes without, but my mouth said with, so I apologize.
That's fine.
Well, that is our main subject.
I highly doubt someone's listening to the podcast.
For our long time viewers.
I like the idea. Someone like went and bought tickets right away. If you heard that, I was like, oh, by the way, it's not Trivium, but I already clicked.
Sorry. Sell them. Okay. Step up.
It's like I bought their Ticketmaster. I can't resell.
Not through Ticketmaster.
Yeah.
So thank you all so much for the super chats as well. We did hit our like goal. We will have at least two rounds of Festival Rocker Flop. Let's get the super chats quickly. From Ellie Yeet. Why did the chicken join the band? Because he had the drumsticks. Also, because he had, where did the music teacher leave his keys? The piano. You're getting a lot, you're striking out. What makes pirates such good singers? They can hit the high C's.
Ooh, you just got scurvy.
No, you didn't get owned. You got scurvy. Oh, Rowan, you missed two more dad jokes in that super chat.
Oh, great. It's like, you don't have to tell him.
Now I got to start all over. No. From White Asylum. Funny if Kiss is more expensive than Metallica. Holy crap. Well, it is a 3-day cruise. Man, that sounds weird. But yes. And from Zombie Barry, Bullet dropped off their tour with Trivium to work on a new album. That's what that was. Yes. And go on to a different tour without Trivium. Just FYI. Thank you, Zombie. Yeah, that was the tour. Yes, the Trivium and Bullet tour where they said, screw it, we're going home. I hope that album's worth it. I really hope that album was worth it. Dang. Really hope that pays off, guys. All right. Anything else we need to do before we get to Festival Rock or Flop? Because we got some shows to book.
Are we done with the dad jokes until Alex's little segment?
Until Alex shows how it's done. Yes.
Yeah. So,
all right. Alex and Rowan, are you ready?
Can we say Alex is a professional dad joke person now?
You want me to say it again, Rowan?
She went to grad school for it. So yeah, I'm pretty sure that's what it was. So
yeah, she got a doctorate in dad jokes.
The D, the PhD, and the D stands for dad. So here we go. Every week we try to book some festivals at what we call Festival Rock or Flop. We hit our like goal, which means we're going to book four random bands pulled out of a big thing and see if we get something good. And I did put Kidz Bop in there. I doubt we'll get it. I'm just saying, for the future, it could happen. So,
you said it.
If there was a god, he has a great chance to be funny right now.
Yes, he does. But you know what? So, here we go. We have a few festivals. What's our festival name going to be? Our own.
Scurvy. Pervy Fest.
That's fine with me. You know what? Because of the Kiss. Will it be better than Kiss Cruise? That's our goal for Scurvy Fest. Okay.
Do we just call it, or what if we just call it Kiss Casino? It doesn't matter if Kiss is on Casino. It or not.
I don't know if we want. Oh, if Kiss is in this now, that's really going to be bad because Kiss is in the folder. So, all right. You know what? Scurvy Fest. We're aiming to be better than Kiss Cruise. Here we go. Bam. Band number one. Korn, I already like our odds. I already like our odds, I'm going to be honest. Number two, Nickelback. Boy, well, we have a budget for this show. I'll say this, Korn and Nickelback. Number three, Periphery. Boy, do they're better with Korn. Periphery and Nickelback don't exactly stick well together, but Korn and Periphery I'm fine with. And number four, Shinedown. This has a big budget.
Nice, okay.
This has a big budget, yeah. I'd go.
I'm going to.
Even if I'm not a fan of Nickelback, I'm going to a show like this, guys. Come on. Scurvy Fest is
way. I would totally go.
Also, I would travel for something like this. I'd drive out of my way a bit. I'm not going to Kiss Fest. Scurvy Fest, not bad. In the chat, would you go to Scurvy Fest? Yes or no? Alex, you'd go?
I would go, yeah. Nickelback gets so much hate, but they're actually really good live.
I've heard that, too. I've never seen them live, and I have heard that. Rowan, how about you?
Yeah, I would go too. It's like, yeah, same thing with Alex. Like, I know that, like, I'm not the biggest Nickelback fan, but like, I like some songs. Yeah.
You can sing along and have fun. It's all good.
Yeah. You know what? I see some yeses. I see a lot of groups. You know what? Honestly, this works pretty well. This is a lot more mainstream than I thought it'd be, too. Periphery is the only one that's the odd one out for the mainstream style. You know what?
So Periphery would be like our nice little opener.
Yeah. I agree. Yeah. There we go. Yes for Scurvy. Well, there you go. Very
yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Hooray! We got Scurvy tickets. And finally, our super chat from Ellie gets you a random festival. Thank you very much. Yeet Fest coming up. Here we go. Band number one for Yeet Fest. Where's Yeet Fest going to be? Random town.
Idaho.
Where?
Cleveland.
Idaho.
Cleveland's too big. Toledo, Ohio. Toledo. Yes. Gonna get one big
Holy
stage.
Toledo Fest. Farm.
Yes, that's exactly what it is. Band number one for Yeet Fest. We got Alter Bridge. That's pretty good. Number two, The Warning. I'm liking
it. Did we have them last week?
We might have had, I think we did have them last week, so we need to skip. I do remember that.
Oh,
I
damn
know.
It, Rowan.
I know.
Sorry.
But still, we got Alter Bridge. Number two, Steel Panther. That's a bit of a downgrade. I'm going to be honest. It's very different from The Warning. Just a touch.
If we just pretend my statement never happened, can we just switch?
Number three, Asking Alexandria. No. Oh boy, Yeet Fest is starting to struggle a little bit. Number four, Stone Sour. Yes, I would go. Asterisk. I'm not saying I would enjoy the whole thing. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I might skip this one, honestly. Stone Sour is like the strongest contender for me. It's just, but it's not like, it's not, I'm not as into them enough that I could put up with everything else.
I at least understand that as well. Because I think Alter Bridge is fantastic live. And Stone Sour hasn't been done anything live in quite a while. But
Stone Sour done.
They're pretty much done. Yeah, that's why. Like, they have no, they're not getting back anytime soon, if ever. But from what I understand. But also, wading through Steel Panther and then Asking Alexandria, now that we know what Asking Alexandria Live is, you really got to want it.
Mm-hmm.
Alex, mm-hmm. Alex, you're saying no?
Can't make it.
Mm-mm. Okay, so. Ellie Yeet says, yes, but skipping Asking Alexandria. Starry Stone Sour, I am skipping this. Oh, brother. Well, I'm sorry, but no. Yes, game over. I would go if Asking Alexandria was opening, but overall, yeah, I would think Steel Panther would
be
opening.
They would not be opening.
Yeah. I don't know. This isn't looking great, guys. I think Yeet Fest may not be able to pull a profit in Toledo, Ohio, unfortunately.
Sorry, Toledo.
Toledo finally had a chance to do something big, and it didn't work out. It just did not work out. That's a bummer. So, Is there anything else we need to cover before we get going with everything else? Anything from Alex?
I'm good, thank you.
Rowan, how about you?
Yeah, just a quick thing. My buddies and I, we actually did a cover of Breaking Benjamin's Blow Me Away, one of the best songs out of the 2000s, in my opinion. You cannot change my mind about that. Here's the link right now if you guys want to go check it out. Support my buddy Paul and my friend Shock, too. He did guitar. We're all in a band together. And yeah, no, seriously, like, it was a lot of fun. It's a great song to play, too, live. So it's like, yeah, show them some love.
Love that. Have you heard the version with the female singer?
Oh, yeah.
Allura?
Yeah, it's mm-hmm. I like that too. We want to do a cover specifically of that version because, like, our singer, that's like a lot more of his singing style. So, yeah,
very nice.
That would be rad.
That link's in chat. I'll try to pin it to the pin comment as well. Thank you all very much. I'm working with another YouTuber again. I'm trying to leave it quiet a little bit until after it happens, record it so I can make sure I guarantee something to talk about more of the Slaughter to Prevail situation. And I don't mean just the drum tech stuff. I'm just mean the overall situation of this is another band that's known for the everything else besides the music, to put it politely. So I think that's about it. Again, if you want to enter the Riot Fest contest, the short will be pinned. If however rules how to do that, please enter. It's free. You can get to go to Riot Fest for free, 3-day festival, headlined by Green Day and Blink-182 and Weezer and Jack White. It'll have Weird Al doing weird stuff. That's about it. Alex, last week you had a knockout home run of a dad joke that got both of us to laugh. You got the best one. So, pressure's on. What do you have this week?
Yep.
I will say it cannot be worse than Ellie's dad joke.
Yeah, well,
hey, Ellie, give me kudos. I'll take them.
It was horrible, Ellie.
All right, you guys ready?
Yes.
Okay. It's a 5-minute walk from my house to the pub. And it's a 35-minute walk from the pub to my house. The difference is staggering. Come on. Good one.
Wait a minute, Rowan. Did you laugh? Did you laugh at that?
I laughed at the sound effect. I laughed at the sound effect.
No, is that me? We were in Birmingham this morning. We're going to walk to the pub and then take a really long time back.
35 minutes of staggering? 35.
Dude, it's a bopping pub.
How drunk are you?
That's drunk. Were you like rolling around for a while? Just like rolling on the concrete?
You are like army crawling back home.
No, see, all the streets look the same and you get lost. You get turned around. It's a wild ride.
Well, the first 10 minutes I was walking in the wrong direction. So then I had to double back and that's another 10 minutes.
It happens.
Yeah. Okay.
Then I walked into someone else's house and they're like, you thinking it was mine. They started screaming and the cops were called.
And that was another 15 minutes.
They were really, that's actually
only happened
to me.
Once. It's fine. Yeah. Only one time.
I'm not even joking. That's actually happened to me.
I see peppers. I see tomatoes. No one else is really throwing anything. So at least there's that. Someone said, I don't get it. Ooh, that's rough.
Watch it again and then come back. It's fine. It's all
yes,
good. It's all
yes.
good.
Yes.
No, they're throwing bats now.
Oh, well, that's avocados and bats. Bats.
We got the LA crowd here now with the avocados. Yes.
The bats. Yes.
And they're flying at you, like swarming you while you're telling the jokes. There you go. Pies, steaming hot pies.
That's gotta hurt.
Well, I think that's a good way to end it. Thank you all so much for joining us for the podcast that rocked. We will see you next week. We'll have more content. Again, Riot Fest giveaway is going on for 2 weeks. One winner for YouTube, one winner for Instagram, one winner for TikTok. Thank you so much. Thank you for staying late with us. Have a great night. We'll see you in a week. Please don't stagger, especially for 30 minutes. If it's more than 5 minutes, call someone. Literally anyone at that point.
This is why you have a designated driver.
This is why you have a cell phone with 911 on it. Ugh. After
911 isn't a chauffeur. You'd be like, hey, I'm drunk. Can you drive me home?
After 20 minutes of staggering around in the middle of a city or to the pub and back, they'd probably be like, yeah, you need help. Okay, we'll send someone. Sorry.
Ugh. Well, I'll walk home alone. Number one.
They'll order you the Uber. I don't think they'll drive you back themselves.
Yeah, you know what? It's on 911. This Uber will come pick you up.
Yeah, no, it's like, here, just unlock your phone. Okay, great, awesome. We'll do this. Bop, bop, bop. There we go. Awesome. See,
like Rowan, that's actually happened to me once.
What, the police would order you an Uber?
That's better. That's wholesome. Good night, everybody. Wholesome stories.